This audio program is brought to you courtesy of Audible.com. Audible, audio that speaks to you wherever you are.
Bank and Art, read all about it.
Hector.
Well, famous bank goes bust, read all about it. And Art, and Art.
Millions go missing, read all about it. Hector.
Bank goes bust, Bank Art does a bunk, and Art, read all about it.
The Gate of Baghdad by Agatha Christie, with Patricia Routledge, Saeed Jaffrey, Richard Griffiths, and Paul Freeman.
Yes, I come.
Ah, Miss Price, madame.
Just dropping off my key, Haji. Have you seen my niece Netta this evening?
She stepped outside with the circular gentleman.
Mr. Pine?
Huh?
Ah, good.
But I have something for you, Miss Price.
Oh? A telegram.
I hope it's not bad news, madame.
Oh, dear. It usually is. We shall see.
Four great gates has the city of Damascus.
Oh, which one's this one?
Postern of Fate, the Desert Gate, Disaster's Cavern, Fort of Fear. The portal of Baghdad am I, the doorway of Diyar Kabir.
Gosh, sounds ominous. Mind you, so does he. And that's the way we go in the morning, is it? Through that gate?
I'm afraid it is, Miss Netta.
Afraid?
There you are, Netta. Good.
Pass not beneath, O caravan, or pass not singing. Have you heard that silence where the birds are dead, yet something pipeth like a bird? Pass out beneath, O caravan. Doom's caravan. Death's caravan.
Golly, Mr. Parker Pine, what does it mean?
Doesn't have to mean anything. It's great poetry, Netta.
I beg to differ, Miss Price. For centuries without number, travelers knew that at least one member of any caravan that passed through that gate would never reach Baghdad, or at least, not alive.
How did they die? Why?
Fever, thirst, snakes, a sandstorm, perhaps.
Oh, Lord.
Come, come, Mr. Pine, don't go frightening the child. We shall not be crawling across the desert on knock-kneed old camels. We shall be speeding across it in that gleaming sedan there, in the lap of luxury and safe as houses, Netta. Nothing even mildly frightening.
Oh, well. Dermot, it's Mr. O'Rourke.
Good evening, Netta, Miss Price, Mr. Pine. Might I introduce a fellow passenger for tomorrow's jaunt? Dr. Loftus, new Air Force quack. Bound for Baghdad, eh, Doc?
Yes, for my sins. I was hoping to get posted to the Holy Land, but no such luck. Just got here from Istanbul.
Oh, we've done the Holy Land.
And?
Sand and bugs. And everything's very old and very dirty.
It was a fascinating experience, really, Netta. I suppose the locals might have been a little more amenable, but then, who are we?
There's too little kindness in the world, dear lady.
Mind, we did have the benefit of a marvellous guidebook, you see.
In the footsteps of St. Paul. Oh.
What say we have a quick shufti around the bazaar, Netta?
Shopping? Oh, rather.
Now, let me see. Where did he go in Damascus?
Care to come with us, Doctor?
Oh, well...
Hello there. Anything interesting on?
Hello, Smethurst. Meet the new chap. Captain Smethurst, this is Doc Loftus. Off to Baghdad to poison some pilots.
Oh, really?
That was a joke, Captain Smethurst. Coming, Doctor?
With pleasure, Miss Netta.
Ah, here we are. St. Paul, or Saul as he then was a man reborn on the road to Damascus.
See you later, Auntie Prue. Bye.
Captain Smethurst... Might you care to join me in the footsteps of St. Paul?
No, thanks. Got to do something.
Oh. Well, then.
I wonder, Miss Price, why would you be so keen to get rid of everyone except myself?
Am I?
Oh, I think so.
Mr. Pine, you are the J. Parker Pine, I take it, who advertises his services in the Times.
Unhappy? If so, consult Mr. Parker Pine. I am indeed, dear lady, though currently enjoying a rare rest from my labours.
Oh. Oh, dear.
So that any consultation would be informal and without charge.
Oh, I say. Would you please read this, then? I got it just a few minutes ago.
Regret, Long Delisle Bank gone under. Samuel Long disappeared. All funds ditto. Deeply sorry, Reggie.
My brother. He's always deeply something. Deeply happy, deeply concerned.
And now deeply sorry. Because you had some funds invested with Long Delisle, I assume.
All my funds. Not a huge amount of money, but everything I had.
Then I am also deeply sorry, Miss Price.
We're going round the world, you see, Netta and I, or were. I'd decide each part of the route and cable the bank to send a certain sum of money to our next port of call. They were going to send £50 to Baghdad for me, and now it won't be there, so we can't go on. Unless, Mr. Pine, can you think of anything I can do?
My dear Miss Price, I'd be more than happy to offer you a small advance if...
Certainly not. No, no, no. I couldn't pay it back, you see. Not if the bank has stolen it. Or this Samuel Long has, it seems. He was such a charming man, Mr. Pine. On the telephone, oh.
There had been rumours lately, gambling, it was said, but only gossip in the city.
Oh, dear. So it'll be back to Torquay, not on to Tashkent. Oh, dear, dear. I'll not tell my niece, not till I have to.
But you can still go to Baghdad.
Oh, yes, I've bought the tickets already.
Well, then do not abandon hope, my dear. We have 2 days' grace at least. Long might be caught in that time. Some at least of the missing money might be recovered.
You think so? Truly? No, nor do I. But I shall spend this evening in the footsteps of St. Paul, and no crooked banker can stop me. Would you care to join me, Mr. Pine?
Well, I would indeed, but I've promised myself another kind of distraction. I'm going on a brief tour of the nightlife of Damascus.
Oh, I say, exotic dancing of a sort.
Champagne for the gentleman.
No, thank you, my dear.
Would you like a friend to listen to your troubles?
Well, I'm afraid I haven't any troubles, dear. And I don't see any friends, so... Oh, but there's an acquaintance. Goodbye, my dear.
Good evening, Captain Smethurst. I take it the seat is vacant, Captain?
Yes. The hostess cleared off when I said no more champagne. My poison's... Top-notch stuff.
I would recommend coffee. Strong coffee.
No fear. Waiter, same again. Arak, huh?
You seem troubled, Captain Smethurst.
Trouble is... That is supposed to be the Dance of the Seven Veils, and she's already taken 17 off. And she's still dressed for winter at the North Pole. That's the only trouble I have.
Well, if you say so.
And anyway, what can I do? Except cheer myself up. Can't go in Welsh on a pal, can I? Then again, just can't stand aside and do nothing, can I? No. Fact is, don't know what to do. Waiter! Arak!
Arak, you know, is not the kindest of cordials. The day after...
Says who? What's your line of business?
My card, Captain.
Unhappy. Then consult Mr. J. Parker Pine. What? Mean to say people consult you?
They do, and I investigate or advise.
Ha! Silly bird-brained women, I suppose.
Certainly women, though mostly not bird-brained, but men as well, in need of someone to confide in, like you, Captain. If you don't know what to do, perhaps I might do.
I do know what to do. Arak, waiter! Arak!
Then I shall see you tomorrow. At dawn.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Hello, everyone.
Sorry. Better late than never.
The day's itinerary, then. We shall have a light picnic lunch along the way.
Good.
Followed by a more substantial evening meal at the abandoned fort of Rutbar.
Rutbar. I told you so, Netta.
So, until then, you should have no great need of most of your luggage, which will be carried in our follow-up vehicle and will be available to you all at Rutbar.
Well, I'll keep this with me.
Now, I do want to push on from Rutbar before midnight, because we've had warnings of rainstorms east of there.
Oh, dear.
Rain in a desert?
Oh, yes, it's quite common this time of year.
Oh, yes, very common.
Really?
But if we can get on well beyond Rutbar during the night, we might just avoid them. So, take your seats, ladies and gentlemen. Our adventure is about to begin. Come on in.
Good morning, Mr. Pine.
General Poley, I'm pleased to see you, sir. Especially as you have a newspaper, I see.
But it is only Les Echos de Damasque, alas. There is little of interest in it to men of the world.
Really? Might I borrow it anyway?
With pleasure, Mr. Pine. Let me know if you find any news in it.
All right, all present correct, are we?
Ah, Captain Hensley. Good to see you, sir.
Thanks, O'Rourke. Only just made it.
Captain Smethurst, you all right, old bean?
Leave him in peace, O'Rourke. There's a good chap. He had a rough night last night. Arrak, you know.
Lord. Unwise, Captain, unwise.
I'll keep an eye on him. Don't worry.
Right then. We're all ready, so... We're off!
Off through the gate of death.
Oh, do be sensible, Netta, or go to sleep.
Likely story.
You find something of interest?
Oh, just this missing banker chap and a missing £3 million.
That is a scandal. A man who has every advantage your country can offer, Eton, Cambridge, and he steals bread from the mouths of those who trust him? He is a disgrace to his race, to Eton, and to Cambridge.
Now, do keep your voice down, General. Captain Smethurst is also an old Etonian, to judge from his tie, and he has worries enough.
And where does he run to, this Samuel Long? Where they always go, the criminals, South America.
Yes, that was the part that interested me.
Sorry?
He may be a scoundrel, but he's not a fool. South America is the one place he'll not be found.
Huh?
Probably gone in exactly the opposite direction. Just like us, in fact.
Us?
Well, you never know. Might even be me, General.
I think not, Mr. Pine.
Oh?
The paper says he is still young and slim.
Oh. Well, then, he might be... you.
Me?
A stick-on mustachio, a uniform you could find in any theatrical costumiers, and hey presto!
I am General Ernesto Poli. I am me.
Oh, so you say, but...
You read the paper, sir. I am going to sleep. These English can't take anything seriously.
Oh, why do they do that? I mean, a dead camel is more than enough to feed the lot of them, but no, they must squabble over it first. Stupid birds. The griffon vulture always gives way to the black vulture anyway, so... Netta? Oh. Well, really, not even nature red in tooth and claw can interest the young. I don't know.
Cigarette, old boy?
Hmm? Oh, rather. Thanks, Doc.
Are we anywhere near the old fort, Rutbar?
Well, might not be near enough.
Oh?
Well, that cloud ahead's getting darker by the minute if we do reach Rutbar before it breaks. But we could still get bogged down in mud.
And then?
And then we wait for the storm to pass and dig ourselves out. Hmm. You're not in any great hurry to reach Baghdad, are you, Doc?
No, no.
Wait for the next flash of lightning. Ah! Yes, walls, in fact. Must be the old fort. Our supper time stop.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached Rutbar.
but I can't get the car any closer.
Oh.
Well, there's a mudslide blocking the way.
Yes.
Oh. All right, so the ladies can be carried into what shelter there is. I'll take you piggyback, Miss Meadow. Hensley, you and Smethurst carry Miss Price. Smethurst?
I'm afraid he's still out for the count.
I can lend a hand if you like.
Good man, Doc. Mr. Pine, General Poley, I'm afraid you'll have to run for it.
Yeah. Oh. Ready, Miss Price?
Oh, ready and willing. But you chaps are going to get wet feet.
Oh, I'll be okay. Always carry a spare pair of socks in my overcoat. Been this way before.
All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Let's be off then.
Let's be off then.
Go!
Yes.
There's a bit of roof left over there. Come on, follow me.
Yes. I'm stopping.
Have a care where your left hand goes, Captain Hensley.
Oh, sorry.
Madre di Dio, this is terrible.
Soaked. I'm freezing.
Oh, yes, my dear. A desert can be very cold and very wet.
All right, hang on. I'm just trying to get this lamp going. Now, to get the hampers out of the boots.
I'll help you do that.
All right, good show, Doc. Come on, then.
Come on.
I don't understand why we didn't just stay in the car and eat.
That's a thought. We were dry in the car.
Yes, we were.
But the car is bogged down in mud.
Yes.
With our combined weight, it would sink down even deeper, especially in my weight, alas.
You haven't changed into your dry socks, Captain Hensley.
Not yet. Still got to wade out through all that mud and dig the wheels. No fear. Once we feasted on soggy sandwiches and tepid tea.
The holiday of a lifetime. Right? You have to enjoy it.
Give it a go, O'Rourke.
Right up.
Never know. Might be lucky. Or not.
Look, I'm going to wake Smethurst up. About time the swine did his bit. Come on, you drunken sot. You can do your fair share, Smethurst. Come on, man, Smethurst. Smethurst? Dr. Loftus?
What is it?
Seen a ghost?
Well, I think I have. It's Smethurst. He's not just asleep. I think he's dead.
Dead? Certainly looks it. Mind wasn't a picture of health before.
Put him down on that blanket.
Don't you dare faint, Netta.
O'Rourke, bring the lamp over. Thanks. I need to see if there's any clear cause of death.
Yes, okay, Doc. Right, now, men, let's get back to getting the car free. Except for you, Mr. Pine. You might be more use staying here and look after the ladies.
I think they'll probably look after me. I am pooped.
All right, come on then, Hensley. General, yes. We have to get that car free.
Yes,
General.
Any obvious wound, Doctor?
None that I can see. If he was sleeping off a hangover, he might just have cracked his head when we hit those bumps a few miles back. But no obvious contusions.
Alcohol poisoning? Happened to a vicar I knew. Cider and scotch was the silly man's tipple. Turned up for choir practice. Stone dead on the altar.
Oh, that's horrible, Aunt Prue.
It was for me. I found the fool.
Are you satisfied he died naturally, then, Dr. Loftus?
Well, only one other possibility, then.
Yes?
Well, I suppose if he was hit by some kind of small sandbag, that could kill without leaving much of a mark, or any.
Killed?
By someone sitting behind him.
Well...
Nobody was. He was on the back seat.
Behind or alongside.
Who was sitting beside him?
Captain Hensley, but surely not.
Wasn't Hensley a friend of his?
I got that impression, yes. Are the cars free? Good. We can ask Captain Hensley for his version of events.
I don't have a version. I've no idea what happened. I mean, why it happened. Smethurst was a friend of mine. I think you
have something to say, Mr. O'Rourke, to judge from your face.
Well, just... Before we left Damascus, when I was checking that the hampers and other kit had been properly loaded in the boot, I heard Smethurst talking to someone. Well, slurring to someone.
What did he say, sir?
He said, "I'll hold my tongue only till Baghdad. Not 1 minute more."
And he was speaking to...
I don't know. The boot lid was up and the other chap didn't speak. Not that I heard.
He was not a friend of yours, Smethurst?
Well, I only knew him because he came and went between Baghdad and Jerusalem on government business.
And you, General Poley, how well did you know him?
Not at all. We travelled in the same group from Jerusalem to Damascus. That's all.
And you, Dr. Loftus?
Well, I've only just arrived. I never met him in my life before yesterday evening.
This is interesting because last night, in a nightclub called, I believe, the Heavenly Harem, I bumped into Captain Smethurst.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say much, but he did say this. I can't go and welch on a pal, but I can't stand aside and do nothing. The question is, who was that pal?
Yes.
Surely Captain Hensley is the only candidate.
Perhaps, Miss Price. I wonder, could a man manufacture some sort of sandbag cosh easily?
No shortage of sand.
Just a matter of what you put the sand into.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
I think many of us just shared the same thought.
Yes.
Where's your overcoat, Captain Hensley?
In the car. I took it off when we were digging the car out.
Doctor, would you go and get Hensley's spare socks from his overcoat, please?
Oh, I say now.
Why?
Do it, please.
All right.
Well, you seem to have taken command, Mr. Pine. And yet you are not a military man, I think.
I am not.
You have been perhaps a senior policeman?
Not at all. I'm just a man who spent 35 years sitting in an office listening to people.
Sorry, I don't...
He's J. Parker Pine. The J. Parker Pine.
There are others?
If only there were. He is J. Parker Pine, as in unhappy. If so, consult J. Parker Pine.
I'm sorry, Madame Adore. I...
God!
What is it, Doc?
What?
Look, see for yourselves. See? Huh?
This one still has some wet sand in it.
Oh, now look here now.
Now you save your breath, Hensley. Save it for the police.
Not now. Let's remain calm. I should like to have another look at the body, Doctor.
Oh? Well, go ahead then.
Thank you. I'm interested in the tie. Old Etonian, no?
Well, I think so, then.
Well, with the knot very tightly tied, mm-hmm. even pressing in against the throat.
Mm.
And if I loosen it... Yes. The top button of his collar is not loose.
So?
When he boarded the car this morning, the button was undone, and the tie was very loosely tied. I wonder why. Ah, you see?
Good grief.
A tiny hole in the back of the neck.
It looks as though...
Yes, something very narrow and very sharp has been driven into the spine, causing speedy and silent death. And just a drip of blood. Dry.
Oh, horrible.
Yes, Miss Netter, and ruthless.
Oh, Lord. I'm so shocked that I didn't notice it.
Oh, not at all, Doctor. You were looking for a head wound. A sock on the head from a sock full of sand. What's that noise?
I can't hear.
Well, good. The follow-up car's made it. You go on ahead of me, Hensley. I'm keeping an eye on you.
But honestly...
Shut up and move. Yes, all right.
He doesn't look like a cold-blooded killer, does he?
Nor did Crippen. Looked like a feeble field mouse.
But you know, ladies, I don't understand. How could Hensley...
He couldn't. And didn't.
What?
But then who could it have been?
Smethurst was killed by a surgical instrument. Huh? Correct, Doctor?
Yes, but I never saw him go near my medical bag.
He never did.
Huh? Somebody did. Oh, I just realized when. I went up the front to have a smoke with O'Rourke, and that...
So you did, while Captain Hensley was sleeping.
Hmm.
And you apparently took your cigarette case from your medical bag.
Yes.
I didn't know why, but where's your cigarette case now?
Yeah, in my pocket.
Ah, so it wasn't the cigarette case you put back into your bag. It was, I think, a thin but very sharp scalpel.
This is madness. Why should a doctor and an officer in the Air Force and a man who has only yet to be arrived here, why should he kill a total stranger? Why?
Because he was not a total stranger.
What?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
And he wasn't killed by a doctor. Nor by an Air Force officer, was he, Mr. Long?
Ah, who's Mr. Long?
Samuel Long. Oh, surely not.
Old Etonian, Cambridge graduate, and a reckless gambler who's lost millions of other people's money.
And several hundred pounds if it was mine. You rat.
Well, Doctor?
Oh, dear. The rat is cornered, is he? Shame.
That's the voice. The charming voice.
Oh, congratulations, I suppose, Mr. Pye. I imagine I must have overlooked a detail somewhere.
The sand.
Oh? How?
Smethurst was dead several hours before we got here. The blood on his neck was dry, but the sand in the sock was wet. Do you see?
Oh. The storm. How very remiss of me.
I've left Hensley under guard in the follow-up car. Once we've all got some fresh clothes...
Hensley doesn't need a guard.
What?
Evening, O'Rourke. Samuel Long.
The banker? But where's Doc Loftus?
Heading for Africa, or so he said. Might have been lying, but...
What? Look, I don't get this.
Neither do I.
Well, don't look at me.
I believe I do.
Please, Miss Price.
This rat simply met another rat, the real Dr. Loftus,
oh.
in Istanbul.
Oh.
On the train going there, actually.
And as you chatted, Loftus let slip that he was bored with his life as an Air Force doctor.
Something like that.
And especially with a posting to Baghdad. And so you said...
My dear fellow, why not pack it in then?
Don't imagine I have not thought about it, but...
I could help you.
You?
There's too little kindness in the world. I would be happy to offer you, shall we say, 500 for your uniform, passport, medical bag.
Am I close?
A very precise tracy, dear lady. Felicitations.
I shall never trust a charming voice again.
Yes, but, Smethurst, how is he your pal?
He never was. I mean, he wanted to be. He was my fag at Eton. I wasn't too hard on him, and he worshipped the ground I walked on. So he didn't blow my disguise the moment he recognized me. It was rotten luck we bumped into each other. Mine and his. Mind if I smoke?
Don't do it!
Do what?
Too late, I'm afraid. Much too...
Oh! Oh!
What the devil?
I shouldn't bother O'Rourke. He's dead.
Oh.
Probably prussic acid in the cigarette. Yes. Not the prettiest way out. But more digging, I'm afraid, O'Rourke. Just deep enough to keep the vultures off until we've gone, hmm? And may God forgive his miserable soul.
But come on, O'Rourke, I mean, honestly.
We're not going to go on about this all the way,
you
are
didn't
we?
Really have to accuse me.
Well, look, we all thought there was a possibility.
Look, Miss Price, straight ahead.
Baghdad!
At last. Good bath and crisp clean sheets for yours truly.
Yes, sounds delightful. But then?
Then, on to Tehran. And then Tashkent. Then I'll have to turn for home. But you'll go on, Miss Price, I hope.
But how?
By courtesy of this, I think.
What? Matches?
Samuel Long's matches. And also his emeralds.
Oh.
They should more than cover a journey around the world.
Oh, but no,
no,
but...
take them, my dear. He owed them to you. Take them and go on. In the footsteps of...
Yes?
Marco Polo?
Exactly. And thank you.
My pleasure. I only wish... Your niece is dreaming. I wonder what all...
Shh. Listen. Postern of Fate. The Desert Gate. Disaster's Cavern. Port of Fear. The portal of Baghdad am I. The doorway of Diyarbakir.
In The Gate of Baghdad by Agatha Christie, Miss Price was played by Patricia Routledge, General Poley by Saeed Jaffrey, Mr. Parker Pine by Richard Griffiths, and Dr. Loftus by Paul Freeman. Toby Longworth played O'Rourke, David Bannerman played Smethurst, Rupert Degas was Hensley, and Alexis Egerman was Netta. The Gate of Baghdad was dramatized by Mike Stott, produced by Bruce Hyman, directed by Dirk Maggs, and was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.